ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnoshuto Nityo Mukto Vinatvangna manamino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and this is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since I see you are looking for the verse, it's not there, so you can hear very nicely. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated. Krishna's name is always spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Because none of you have listened carefully, I will repeat again what we have just heard. I know my audience very well. I'm one of you. But I also have come to see that there's need for improvement. So it says Krishna's holy name is a touchstone. Chintamani. Touchstone means when you touch something with it, it takes on the form which you think about it. For instance, you will see now a little magic. This will in a moment become gold, pure gold. Listen very carefully so that you find out my trick. This is a touchstone. The touchstone has so much power that if I touch it to anything, it will become transformed. See, this is, I heard it was a real touchstone. This was one of the conditions under which I came to Leicester. So let us now see, it will turn into gold. One, two. Padyumna. It has not turned into gold. This was not a real touchstone. My dear devotees, if you take a real touchstone, this was not a real touchstone. I thought it was, but it was not. Sorry, I disappointed you. It was Pradyumna's duty to bring a real touchstone. It turns the substance into gold. What does this mean? It has a transformative potency to it. In Greek mythology, you will find that King Medias, the king, had this blessing that anything he touched would turn into pure gold. So after he had received the blessings, he wanted to take food, and he nicely touched his food. Bang! It was gold. You can't eat gold very nicely. Then his child, seeing his father, came running to him, and the father very lovingly took the child on his lap. Ping! It also turned to gold. He couldn't send his boy any longer to the Avanti school. It was gold now. Then his wife came. King Medias understood he had this strange blessing that anything he would touch would turn into gold. But he didn't want a golden wife. He wanted to have a living wife, not someone who could not talk, someone who could not walk. So he ran away from his wife. His wife thought this was a new loving game and chased her husband through the palace. And he said, no, no, no. Finally, she came and embraced him and turned it to gold. This was not a good blessing any longer. And King Medias suffered until the rest of his life. But Krishna's holy name is also a touchstone, but it is different. It is transcendentally blissful, and any chanter or anyone who comes in contact with Krishna's holy name will, if he has the right orientation, the right inner orientation, become also transcendentally blissful. A normal touchstone is called sparshamani. Sparsha means touch, and mani a jewel, a touch jewel. But Krishna's name is called a chintamani. Chinta means to think. That is, while you chant, whatever you think of, whatever is your goal, whatever is your inner orientation, that you will receive. The power of a mantra works when you have the proper inner orientation. But most of you do not think anything when you chant. You go into passive mode. You just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Okay, time to space out. And therefore, nothing happens in your spiritual life. If you want a chinta, the holy name, to work properly, you must have the inner orientation. Otherwise, the chintamani, the thought jewel, this is the name, won't work. And we will learn today two inner orientations which have been given to us by the acharyas. And then we will practice to chant like this, and most probably you won't be disappointed like you were with my Svasamani, which didn't work, unfortunately, because it was... Well, now I see it's only glass. Pajumnabji, it's only glass. The holy name is not a false representation. The holy name is real and no less powerful than Krishna himself, says the verse. So let me take you on a little journey and start. Today we will talk about inner orientation while chanting, but I want to first now make a point which I think is necessary in order to glorify the holy name and to let me say, make you willing to work a little bit. The holy name is the first form in which the Lord comes to the conditioned soul. The Lord doesn't come in the, let me say, to a conditioned soul so easily in his form. It means in his transcendental form. It will be very difficult, or we will be very disappointed when in our spiritual life we wait for the Lord to appear like he appeared before Dhruva Maharaj and Narada Muni and so on. No, the Lord has chosen to appear before the most of the conditioned souls, like, the majority, he has chosen to appear in the name form. Then, when the conditioned soul chants the name properly, that means without any offenses, Krishna will reveal a little bit more of himself. That is, while the conditioned soul will chant his name, all of a sudden he will become overwhelmed by remembering certain qualities of Krishna. For instance, that he is Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotees. I think many of you have already glimpsed into this, that when you were chanting, you all of a sudden must have understood, wow, I'm so fortunate that Krishna is so merciful that he has given me the association of devotees. No? I think you must have thought of Krishna sometimes when you chant. It would be strange if they would not do this. So then, after some time, so when you chant the name, then you will think first a little bit on the form of Krishna. Prabhupada often recommended us when we chant that we sit before the deities. Have you ever done this? And you look intently on the deities, because at that time when you chant the Lord's name and look at either his deity form or you look at a painting of him, you will understand how the name is really related to the personality whose name you are chanting. Name and form start to mix. Like when you cook your sabjis, then the spices, put your spices in, take the salt in, and then the salt becomes absorbed by the sabjis and it becomes connected, it is one. So when the devotee chants, especially if he chants before the deity of Krishna, or he has on the altar, or he has a good picture of the Lord, then this mixes in his consciousness, name and form, and then the qualities come. I must correct myself. I said first the qualities come after the name, but it's wrong. First the name, then the form of the Lord, then you begin to remember his qualities, like his mercifulness, and finally everything starts to become very real for you, that is, you will remember pastimes of Krishna. They just come into your heart. I think some of you have occasionally experienced this, but when you are pure, then that will happen very, very easily. There are many devotees in our movement who experience this, although they tend to be silent about it, because it's the nature of someone who makes spiritual experiences to not cheaply prostitute those experiences with the common public. So the first form in which the Lord comes to the conditioned soul is the name. But can we recognize him? Can we understand that Krishna has come in the name form? Rupa Goswami describes that a covered soul, a soul who is still full of inner darkness which surrounds the heart, will not be able to recognize the Lord. And I think this holds true to many of the people who start chanting. In the beginning, they are really very negligent. They do the name chanting only out of duty, because they just don't feel that Krishna has come. They feel that a tiresome duty has come in their life. I have made the naive mistake to promise to chant 16 rounds at my initiation, and now I'm stuck with this promise and will not get any prasadam if I'm found to fail on this promise. No. This is how many unfortunate conditioned souls who are covered still with the inner darkness see the holy name. Rupa Goswami says, the holy name, the character and pastimes and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. But the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste that sweetness. However, it is wonderful that simply by carefully continuing to chant these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So we find here a disease which keeps us from recognizing something. When you have an eye disease, something which is right in front of you cannot be seen by you. How unfortunate you are. When you have the disease of ignorance or avidya covering your heart, you can't actually see how sweet Krishna's name is. You feel it is not sweet, it is bitter. The example has been given here, which you have heard many times, of a jaundiced patient. I once, when I was in Srinagar with the Nitai Gaur World Traveling Sankirtan Party, it was a Sankirtan party which Srila Prabhupada had founded, I contracted jaundice. Who of you ever had jaundice? Priya had jaundice. Vrindavani, you had jaundice? No? I thought, because your zari is yellow. When you have jaundice, what happens to you is you turn yellow, like our Vrindavani's very tastefully chosen zari. You become so yellow that people become afraid of you. I remember I was taking every morning my bath, and I had to go into a river to do it, because I was a little bit quarantined. I came in an old, the devotees put me in an old military camp which was deserted. And so I shared my bathing place, which was a river, with the village. And I remember when I came down to the river to take my bath, everyone ran away shouting, "Boot! Boot! Boot!" Boot means ghost. Boot means ghost or Ben. Is there really a Ben? Or did you just say it? I would like to meet him, because I can see ghosts. The way to look at a ghost is you have to look from the corners of your eyes, and then... Let me see if Ben is around. No, he's not. But I will see him. I will try to spot him, Pradyumna, for you, and then I tell you how to get rid of him. So they were highly afraid of myself. And then I was given the medicine. I had to eat this much of sugar candy, raw sugar candy, every day. Now, at that time, I started to become a bio-organic man who doesn't like to eat this white sugar. But I had to eat it, a whole bag like this of rock candy every day. And in the beginning, it tasted so bitter. But as I continue to take it, I mean, I must have finally have sugar crystals in my blood so that when I walked, it went there was so much sugar over one. It was like a whole truckload of sugar over one week. But it worked. And the period of 1 week, I first started to see there was a change. First it tasted bitter, so bitter, but then it became sweet and ever sweeter, 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 sweeter. And then I was cured when I could taste the whole sweetness. So Rupa Goswami gives the example. He tells all of us we are jaundice patients. We are all yellow fever, they call it. Or that may be something different. Anyways, we have jaundice of avidya, of ignorance in us. And that covers us so that when we chant the holy name, we just don't take the sweetness. We feel it is bitter, so bitter. But as we become gradually cured by chanting the holy names, as this happens, the holy name reveals himself. So please do not become discouraged when in the beginning your chanting is not tasting as sweet as it is promised. Continue to chant and take the medicine. And as you do this, you will see that you become that you go deeper in your chanting. See, you must know that there are three levels of the sound vibration of the holy name. The first is Adi Bhotika. Bhotika means you only see the name or feel the name more or less like a combination of alphabets. You know, letters, I wanted to say. H-A-R-E-K-R-S-N-A. This is how the conditioned soul will chant. He will chant it, the holy name, more or less like he chants any name, like he reads any name. But as you do the Adibhotika chanting, you will all of a sudden, as you become more subtle, reach the second level of chanting. It's Adidevika chanting, where you see, my God, this is a sound vibration. It is an energy. This is not yet a very advanced level of chanting. It's many in the yoga circles, they say, this is good vibration. It makes me peaceful. Have you? When you are with a chanter who chants nicely, a peaceful atmosphere comes. I do know this when I sit in the nature. I don't chant this loud broken names like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I don't chant this. I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. And I've often seen that from the sound vibration, birds become attracted. Have you also seen that in your chanting? When you sit in nature, like in Vrindavan, you will see monkeys come around you, but not in a notorious, playful way. They will like just the peaceful vibration. Or Nilagaus, have you seen Nilagaus? They are like deers. When you chant, they will come. Many times you have maybe seen this in Christian paintings. Christian saints are depicted and around them, and they pray, and around them are animals. Have you seen such pictures? It is because they produce a certain energy, a certain sound vibration. It's the second level of praying. It's first only the letters, then the sound vibration, and then adhyatmika, the chanting. From the chanting, the personality of Krishna will come. When you enter the secret of mantra chanting, all what you want in a mantra chanting is you want that the personality who's encoded in this mantra becomes revealed to you. If you want to read more about it, I want to refer you to a book called The Gayatri Book, where the Gayatri mantras are explained. I cannot say who wrote it because I wrote it. No one can. Anyways, Hare Krishna. The whole idea of chanting any mantra is that your Ishta Devata, the Lord who has come in mantra form, is revealed to you. But he does so only if you come to the third level of chanting. This has been also explained in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. It has been said, in the beginning you chant in a material way, full of offenses, it's called Nama Aparat. Then you begin to chant Nama Bas, where the name begins to reveal himself a little bit, the energy of the name will come to you, and then you will chant Shodhanam, where the personality of the holy name reveals himself. These three levels correspond to the three Adibhautika chanting, Adidevika, and Adiyatmika chanting. So, Krishna, this is my point here, my first point here, comes to you in the form of his holy name, but you will only recognize him if you know how to chant properly. Because like any person, the holy name chooses to reveal something of him only to someone whom he is pleased with. I don't know if you know, but Pradyumna and myself were discussing many things when he was just coming to Krishna consciousness, and I was in London because of going to this Vaishnava. How was it called? Vaishnava Training and Education. We had this group, and Pradyumna was there in the Bhaktivedanta manner. And he was young. He was at that time very slim, I remember. We would discuss, because we both have a liking for discussion, and we would find each other and we would discuss many things together. In the course of being with Pradyumna, I learned more and more about his inner things. I learned also about doubts which he had. Now they are totally cleared. I learned about many confidential things which Pradyumna Prabhu slowly, slowly would reveal to me. I know many things about Pradyumna which you don't know, because he had chosen me to be a trustworthy older devotee in whom he could confide his many thoughts, and he revealed more and more of his. And so I also told Pradyumna some things which I would be shy to tell people whom I don't really know. So Krishna is very similar in this one aspect, that he reveals himself only to a person whom he chooses and in whom he confides. It's a little bit like this. When Krishna comes first in the form of his holy name, he keeps himself a little bit hidden if you don't learn to chant it free from offenses and in an affectionate and respectful way. There is an old Indian story about a king who used to go into his kingdom in a hidden form. I think you have learned that Ram once did this. So this king would dress himself like an ordinary person and mingle with the people on the street. So while he was going out into the town, he noticed there was a beggar who talked in a very, how do you call this, disparaging way. Is there an English word about the king? He would say, this king is really a very bad person. He has a bad character, and we don't know if he's faithful to the queen. We just don't know it. He would talk like this to make people dissatisfied with the king. And the king noticed that this beggar had many resentments. You know, the king who started to associate with him in his hidden form, in dressed up as an ordinary man. And one day he decided, I know this beggar is a good person in his heart, but he talks so bad about the king. Let me help him. So this king then said to the beggar, I have an interesting project. Let's go to the palace and let us steal something from the palace. Oh, very good idea, said the beggar. And the king went with the beggar through a secret entry door into the palace. So the beggar, who had thought before that the king was a tyrant, was very surprised when he saw inside the walls of the palace not people who were suppressed, not people who were angry at the king, but people who loved the king. And he was very, very, very surprised about this. Then the king took him one step further. He brought him into the palace. You have to help me also. Den Thronsaal, we say in German. The hall in which his throne was standing. How do we call this hall in English? The crown room, you think? Throne room. And then he said to the beggar, who by now had forgotten about stealing, wait a minute, I have a surprise to you. Then the king, who was dressed in ordinary clothes, went into a room, changed himself, took the crown, took his nice garb, and sat on the throne. And the beggar saw that the person whom he had made friends with, or the person who came to him and who took him inside the palace room, was the king himself. This is how Krishna is with all of you, all of us. Krishna comes in a hidden form as a name. We are still beggars. We are revolutionists. We are rebels. We don't like God. We are here in the material world. We really like us the most, if we are honest, admit it. That's what occupies us day in and day out. Our own small little insignificant world and thoughts. We are like beggars. But Krishna comes, makes contact in a hidden form, the name form, and then says, come along with me. And he takes us first into the association of devotees. Like now, you are together with devotees who want to become Krishna conscious. Imagine this. They are not like you. He takes us into the assembly of devotees. And slowly what will happen is, you will see one day how the king changes his garb and reveals himself to you. In other words, you will see how the name who came first to you and brought you along the way so far will reveal his qualities and his pastimes and activities. He will be before you. You are the most fortunate people and the most unfortunate. You are fortunate because Krishna came to you, but you are unfortunate because you can't recognize him. He tastes bitter for you. You are a rebellious beggar. How unfortunate you are. We could distribute ropes now, but this would not be the right way to conduct a retreat. So unfortunate! Krishna has come in his merciful form, but we don't recognize him. Shouldn't we learn what will inspire Krishna to reveal himself to us in his form? Shouldn't we learn that art? Shouldn't we become very interested? How do I chant so that this ignorance goes away, this covering of avidya goes away, and which Rupa Goswami spoke about, and I can actually recognize the sugar for what it is, not bitter, but sweet, or I can recognize the holy name for what he really is. So I will now tell you two conditions which are favorable to induce Krishna to reveal himself in the holy name. Please listen very carefully. I think you will discover something. And let me see. The first is you have to learn to chant with Sambandha and Seva, because that will destroy avidya and aparadha. It's an enigmatic sentence. I will say it again after some time. Sambandha, the first point. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states in Harinam Chintamani that if we chant with no awareness of our relationship with Krishna, we will obtain only a shadow of the holy name, not the real name. What this means is we must enter into an understanding of our relationship with Krishna. And I don't mean here a very exalted understanding of what is our original rasa. I mean just the fact that we are parts and parcels of Krishna, servants of Krishna. When you chant in this mood, and I will soon do this with you, we will chant two rounds together in a moment, you will see something happening. I always tell my audience a little illustration of this. If you only have the shadow of something, you will not be able to act properly. Let us say you have the shadow of money. The shadow of money. How will you spend the shadow of money? or let us talk more the stomach language. Imagine you have the shadow of a meal. Let us say Pradyumna Prabhu has decided that the Leicester Temple is very poor, and this lunch, he will serve a very economic lunch to you. What this means is he will have cooked pizza. Don't know if we like pizza in England. Do we have pizza? Or is this Italy pizza? And sandesh and prakoras. But he has only made one plate. Then he has installed a lamp, and this lamp is projected towards the prasadam, and then there is a shade. There is a good shade of a prakora, a good shade of a pizza, and a good shade of sandesh. And he will say to you, for economic reasons, you will only get the shade today. It is a very shade is never exhausted. One can take as much as one wants for the from the shade. The shade always remains. And he would leave you like this for lunch. You would remain hungry and go somewhere else. So when you only have the shadow of the holy name, my dear devotees, my dear friends and my dear skeptics, then, my dear devotees, you will remain hungry. You will not actually stay in Krishna consciousness for more than 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. You will remain spiritually hungry and look for the nectar somewhere else, Swami Narayan or any other movement where you hope to get substance. When you eat the shadow of a meal, what happens? You remain hungry and will feel the need to go elsewhere to satisfy your appetite. Similarly, we tend to seek happiness in illusory things when we taste only a shadow of the holy name. Our heart feels spiritually weak and we become willing to offend the holy name. By these anattas or acts against our own interest, our spiritual progress can be almost permanently blocked. When you remain spiritually hungry, when you don't feel anything, you will make offenses against the holy names, and you will seek your happiness in mundane literature, mundane movies, mundane life, and especially you will be attracted to sex pleasures, because you have remained hungry. So to end the shadow chanting and to come to the substance chanting, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends a simple meditation that fixes the mind in a correct understanding of our position in relationship to Krishna. This meditation goes like this. I am an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna's eternal servant. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. This material world is a prison house meant to reform my absent-minded tendencies. We will now do an exercise on this meditation. Does every one of you have their BBACs handy already? Maybe you can just find it. Maybe some of you have put it in the bag. Yes, Priya, I can see your edit. Have it please handy. How are you? Are you tired? Yes? Who is tired? Nitai, maybe you want to just... Maybe because we are... I mean, you know, normal Hare Krishnas are tired always. So I have seen because they eat a lot. So maybe we would just like to stand up so that it's not a torture for you. No? Just one moment. I request you to do a few on an inhale, move your hands up. These are just wake up exercises. I will do you a favor. On an exhale, move down. The arms should be more straight, Surekha. How do you feel? More tired? Even if you feel in the beginning more tired, it will wake you up. You will be very grateful. So, I would request you now to change the mood. This was a little bit just to wake us up, really. Now we will do something very serious. We will work on chanting the substantial name, because this shadow name or shadow practice, which doesn't nourish us spiritually, is maybe our greatest problem. Out of not being nourished in spiritual life, our attachments to the material world remain with us. Our offensive behavior towards Krishna remains with us. And we are not experiencing really Krishna consciousness. The gap between the ideal and the reality is not closed. So I would request you now to look a little bit around in the room, because very soon I will request you to close your eyes and go into a meditative experience. Then please sit tall. And close your eyes. I request you to make a long exhale. Really long. And inhale. And again, very long exhale. Get it all out, all the air. Long inhale and a long exhale. Now, just observe your breath. When it goes in, tell yourself in. When it goes out, tell yourself out. Your breath has been with you since you're born and remains with you until you leave this body. It is your friend. The Gita, Lord Krishna says, pranosmi, I'm that prana. Now just observe the breathing. When you breathe in, tell yourself mentally in. When you breathe out, tell yourself mentally out. In and out. Our purpose here is to just be mindful of our breath. Something so simple, something so basic, yet something which we are not often mindful of is our breath. We will now turn our attention to the heart area. Whenever you breathe in, imagine you are breathing in a golden light which goes into your heart. It comes in through the nose, it goes down until it reaches your heart. A golden light like you see around the deities, of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Mayapur. For a moment, become aware that inside the heart is your dwelling place. You, the eternal soul, are residing in the heart area. You are there, different from the body, which is now in a somewhat peaceful situation. You are part of Krishna. Long, long ago, you have left Krishna, but he has come to you in the form of his true name. We will now soon chant the holy name, and we will chant it from a certain consciousness. The consciousness is that I am a small soul, Krishna's eternal servant. And Krishna is the unlimited personality and my only master. I've come here in this material world to reform my absent-minded tendencies. Please take your beads now and chant one round. But chant it with sambandha, that is the knowledge of your relationship to Krishna. Address Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's very good that you chant in one voice, but I request you now to go to a little bit more difficult situation. That is, each one chants, continues to chant this round in his own voice. It's important during this time to maintain this connectedness to the group energy. You know, we are all sitting together as a group, but it is even more important much more important, or let us say of paramount importance, to connect really with Krishna, with the deities, with the Lord. You might remember there is this wonderful shloka which says, Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. So it is with this idea of establishing a relationship that we will chant now. It will be more difficult because in the first process, we can just lay down in the group sound and let us be carried by the group. Now we really have to make an effort ourselves. Please start now. We will do this for 1.5 rounds. Huh? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Connect, connect, connect. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Connect, no shadow chanting, connected chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Krishna. Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal. Thank you very, very much for the remaining 8 minutes or so before we have our pause. I request you to now enter with me another application. What we have discussed so far is that the Holy Name reveals Himself only under certain conditions. If someone is full of ignorance and full of illusions, his ability to perceive the Holy Name is very limited. And we heard the example of Rupa Goswami, that he is like a person who is whose tongue is covered by the jaundice disease and therefore cannot taste the sweet sugar as sweet. He will taste the sugar as bitter. So just in the same way, we are also not yet able to perceive Krishna, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if we do chant with a sincere feeling of being related to Krishna, like being an atomic soul and part of Krishna, and turning to Krishna really to reform our absent-minded tendencies, then this will be very good. See, all of us have so many relationships, but all these relationships are really like the smoke which you see now in the flame. They're here for some time and then gone. They're not permanent. There's only one relationship which is permanent, and that's the relationship to Krishna. And when we chant, we have to forget our material relationships for a while. But we have to concentrate totally on Krishna. So I request you now to sing together in a group for about 7 minutes or so before our pause. And while you recite the holy name, just like in Japa you recite the holy name, in Kirtan you do it also. Please do enter into your relationship. Maybe you want to close your eyes and think that you are in the Vrindavan temple before Radha Shyam Sunda. Maybe you want to do what I always do. I go in my mind to a sacred place like the banks of the Yamuna, and I look over the Yamuna on the other side where there is a tree under which Radha and Krishna sit on a bejeweled throne. Huh? Somehow you have to learn to do this Sambandha chanting, this connected chanting, and somehow you have to train yourself to forget your absent-minded chanting or your disconnected chanting. Please sing with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Little higher, please. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare together in one voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, congratulations, you did your first session, a full session of the Japa retreat, and you did extraordinarily well. I'm very satisfied with your efforts, your sincere efforts. This first session was really about a positive approach which throws away illusions and the anattas. The positive approach was to become mindful of Krishna and our relationship to Krishna as we chant. Please take this lesson with you. We will do a few more meditations, but now we will have a pause. It will be a pause where I recommend you to move a little bit about and to maybe take care of you in the restrooms. But there will be a very special introduction in this pause, which, if you will follow this, will really give you a deep, deep experience, which you have, which you will tell most probably to your friends. Pradyumna Prabhu will tell us about how we will spend this pause together. Thank you, Pradyumna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. So we have 30 minutes to take a break. And my first recommendation is, it's a hot day, so please drink a lot of water. We have lots of water in here, and I think we've got 100 bottles which are hiding in one of the rooms. So fill yourself with water. It's very, very important. I forgot to mention yesterday that lavatories are actually outside. They're big blue boxes on the side of the building. You probably can't miss them, but they're all signposted. Now, after that experience this morning, I bet you're all eager to go and share how you feel right now with a friend or with your wife or with somebody. But for the next 30 minutes, I'm not going to let you do that. Because we're going to take this break for 30 minutes in complete silence.
Yoo-hoo!
Complete silence. And here's a meditation. This is from the third canto, chapter 24, text 42. The translation: the sage Kardama accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of Him exclusively. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Mona means silence. Unless one becomes silent, he cannot think completely about the pastimes and activities of the Lord. It is not that because one is a fool and cannot speak nicely, he therefore takes the vow of Mona. Rather, one becomes silent so that people will not disturb him. No, I don't want anyone to disturb me, and I don't want any of you to disturb each other, unless it's an emergency. And if it's an emergency, take it onto the front lawn. Is that okay?
Oh, yes, by all means, yes, yes.
Repeat the verse. So the verse is, the sage Kardama Muni accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of Him exclusively. We have 30 minutes.
And please be on time.